This podcast is brought to you by WCRFM in Wolverhampton.
Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in partnership with WCRFM, which you can hear on 101.8 FM via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCRFM. And now across Wolverhampton on DAB Digital Radio as well. In this episode, we hear from Leslie Thorpe, who's a Macmillan Personalised Care Project Lead for the Black Country Integrated Care Board. And Leslie, joining us now in the studio is Leslie Thorpe, and we're going to be talking about Cancer Champions. Leslie, first of all, welcome. Nice to see you.
Good afternoon.
And tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with the support and the work that you do.
Okay, so I started nursing in 1983, so 40 years in and still going.
Well done.
I'm a cancer nurse by specialist, so I used to be a cancer nurse that looked after patients that had cancer of the esophagus and stomach. I then became involved with Macmillan, and I now do some education training, including GP surgeries and community settings to do education training around prevention and screening.
And what drew you towards being a cancer specialist? What was it that sort of made you say, yeah, that's what I want to specialise in?
Something I've always wanted to do. It's nice to help people and be on the other side to help people, guide people through decision-making process. And people are really quite unsure of where to go. So any support you can give them is the best way you can do.
And we're going to be talking about Cancer Champions. Tell us what the thinking is behind the Cancer Champions.
So every year, thousands of people get diagnosed with cancer. And we know, historically, the earlier you find it, the earlier we can do something about it, the better we've got of actually curing the cancer for you and then coming out the other side with a clean bill of health. So early we find it, the earlier we treat it.
And, well, you know, I said earlier about I've got that personal experience in our family with my dad, you know, who had bowel cancer, caught early and, you know, survived that.
Well done.
Which was really good. And are people, I don't know, reluctant to even ask the questions of themselves? You know, there's a wonderful advert around at the moment about the guy carrying around the box.
Yes.
What an advert that is.
We found working with lots of our communities, and the Community Cancer Champions are part of that programme, is that people don't talk about cancer, because if they talk about cancer, you're inviting it into your home.
Right.
And if you kind of bury your head in the sand and don't acknowledge it's there, you don't have to worry about it. But then, of course, by the time you get diagnosed, it's a bit late then for us. And the later you get diagnosed, the more intervention the NHS has to do, more difficult the surgery is, the more treatment we have to offer. It's much easier to catch it early, less intervention, less concern.
And let's, you know, if we're nailing stigmas here, let's be blunt. You know, if you don't catch it early, then it's a killer, isn't it?
Can be, yes, very much so.
So therefore, there's the encouragement to get that sorted earlier. And Cancer Champions, this again is trying to encourage other people in your family, in your community, just to sort of put the stigma to one side.
Yeah.
Don't be worried about the word.
No, don't be worried about the word. It's not the big C. We talk about cancer in the small C. So cancer is another disease process. So Cancer Champions are volunteers that work within the community settings that are trained and given the equipment and knowledge to understand how we signpost people to recognise symptoms, recognise signs early, and have those conversations in advance so they don't bury their head in the sand and kind of like engage with people, GPs or the health professionals, to get diagnosed early.
And who are the kind of volunteers you're looking for?
Anybody that works in a community setting. So we've got people that work with the community churches. We've got people that work with Good Shepherd. We've got people that work in lots of mother and toddlers associations. We've got somebody works with the blind centre, somebody in the deaf centre. So anybody that has a connection with their community that can signpost people to ask those questions.
And obviously the service they're offering there is fantastic. Now tell us a little about the training that be involved with that.
So the training is 2-hour training sessions, and they're offered every month. And the first session, so we work in partnership with Cancer Research UK. So this is all sort of like focused to obviously those questions that people want to ask. Sessions every month, they're for 2 hours. Our next session's in May, which is Cancer Research UK. Then the second session is in June, and the third session's in July.
Now one of the things you were saying there when we were chatting was that actually the rate of the kind of 1 in 3 has gone to now 1 in 2.
Yeah, when I first started with Macmillan 8 years ago, it was 1 in 3. It's now dropped to 1 in 2. So 1 in 2 of us will be exposed to cancer of some sort in our lifetimes yet.
And what's the cause of it? Because a lot of cancer is preventable, isn't it?
4 out of 10 cancers are preventable. So if you think about those things that we can influence, that's smoking, the way we eat, what we eat, exercise, is all part of those preventable lifestyle choices that we make. So they have a knock-on effect.
Right, and Robbie, you're talking about a mate who, you know, you obviously had experience there. But the numbers have shocked you a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, it was only recently I realised it was one in two. As a teenager, a friend of mine was affected, and I remember having a look, you know, did a bit of research on it, and he said, like, one in three. So, you know, I was probably 14, 15 at the time. So, like, you know, I'd be walking around school and I'd sort of like see groups of people and I'd think, you know what, you know, half of that group are going to be affected at some point. And then when I realised it was one in two, probably a couple of months back, it's even
it's
worse.
Blew your mind.
Yeah.
And it is something. And again, nailing the stigma seems to come back in time and time again.
Absolutely, yes.
I did have the privilege of from a few months ago now to interview some survivors of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And we're in the studio here, live as we are today. And they said, oh, there's still a stigma out saying the word breast. Mm-hmm. I said, let's say it on radio, you know, let's say the word, let's get round the stigma and let's then we can begin to protect ourselves, can't we?
Well, there's a big stigma about bowels. People don't talk about bowels, right, do they? Because it's just like dirty. So let's not talk about your bowels. Because it's just, absolutely not. So the screening programmes that we offer, breast, bowel and cervical, all those three words, the different types of people are quite political, aren't they, or quite emotive. So people don't talk about them, no. It's
but
just
we need
strange.
To encourage people to, and you know, maybe I do it on the radio, we are as well. And I have to say, I think us blokes are not very good at getting screened, are we?
No. No, you know, especially when you talk about, the bowel screening starts at about 54 and we're dropping it down to 50 and it goes up to 74. If a kid came through your door with a little box and said, I need a piece of your poo, how many of you are actually going to do it? You're going to put it away, aren't you? You'd have to be nagged by your wife.
I've done it, you know, I do it regularly because I think screen's really, really important.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and I've always said to people, look, you're worried about doing that. You think about the person opening it.
Yes.
You know, it's done in the privacy of your bathroom. Just get on with it. It's important. It's important to do. Now, in terms of becoming cancer champions, then again, there's a lot of information, again, about prevention as well as everything else.
Yes.
And also, it's done in quite a no jargon in a nice, easy, friendly way.
So the first session, they're all virtual. So they're all done by teams. And then obviously, there are different times. And it's no jargon. It's all friendly. There's lots of open dialogue between each other. We support you. So once you become a cancer champion, we have regular quarterly meetings and you can and tell us what you've done or what you want us to have support with. So once you become a cancer champion, if, for example, your community want to do a coffee morning, then the team will come out and support you with leaflets and resources and research, just so that we can set something up for you so that you can have those conversations with your community. So we're doing one next week in a local church hall where we're setting up some cancer screening. It's bowel awareness month this month, so Indeed. We're doing some bowel awareness screening in a local.
Well, where are you next week?
You've asked me that now, Chris. Okay. I can't tell you at the top
of
my
head. You'll tell me later. We'll look it up and we'll put it out there as well, and we will put this out of the podcast as well, and we will put links in there as well. Now, obviously, you're helping somebody on a journey. Not everybody survives cancer.
No.
And therefore, is there emotional support around for you and for others? Because this sometimes is very emotionally stretching, isn't it?
It is. And we all develop our own emotional techniques of way of handling things. But Macmillan will offer lots of support. So once you become a cancer champion, there are lots of links, lots of web pages, lots of things that we do around supporting people, having those conversations. Remember, cancer champions identifying, signposting those early signs. So I wouldn't want a cancer champion to be any more involved with any kind of emotional support. Yeah. But yeah, Macmillan offer lots of different things that we can focus you towards. So once we've had those conversations and you're established, then we can signpost you in the right direction. Yes.
Sorry,
Robbie.
You mentioned about the early signs. What sort of, you know, what can people pick up on?
Okay,
if they're worried, what sort of signs are there?
Let's go for bowel cancer as an example.
Bowel cancer. So obviously for bowel cancer, you would be looking for bloating, abdominal pain, any alternative episodes of constipation versus diarrhoea. Mm-hmm. So you'd have constipation, then have diarrhoea, go back to constipation. There might be blood on the tissue when you wipe, and you might have this sort of like weight loss. So you'd lose a little bit of weight combined with the others. All of those are classic symptoms of something going on that's not quite right with your bowel. Now, it may be something very vague, or it could be something like irritable bowel, or it could be celiac disease or colitis. But equally, it could be that there's actually something going on inside the bowel. So the kit will test for blood in the poo.
Yeah.
And then obviously we ask you questions and then take it through for further investigations.
Indeed. And the key thing here is, you know, if you know your own body, people know their own body best, don't they?
Yes. Get what we're saying is know your body. If you know your body, then you'll know what's abnormal. So know the normal, know the abnormal. So if you know that you don't have your bowels open for every 3 days and you suddenly start going every day and it's loose, it's not, doesn't smell quite right, something going on, sort it out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and remember the guy with the box going to the doctor.
Carrying the box with a jack in the box, yes.
That's right. When you open the box, there's nothing in there after all, you know, but the peace of mind that comes from when you found
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. And that's one of the fear factors, Chris, is that people don't want to, they're carrying that jack in the box around and they don't actually want to know the answer because they're frightened of the outcome. But in most cases, the outcome's going to be okay. It's just if we leave, the longer you leave it, the outcome diminishes, that sort of like percentage diminishes with a positive outcome. So sooner the better.
Indeed. And if you get a screening opportunity, take it.
Absolutely.
For whatever it is.
We do breast screening, bowel screening and cervical screening. So all of those are available as we speak at the moment. We're looking at how we can work with other types. So there's targeted lung health checks. And if you've ever been a smoker, there's some screening coming on with that recent, going to come up shortly. And then we're looking at other things that we can do. But yes, know your normal and then you can pick up the abnormal.
And I remember one of the ladies that came in, we talked about breast cancer, you know, it was a wet day and she was due for an appointment and her husband said, oh, you must go. She said, oh, it's raining, must go. And she went and it was found early and therefore she survived.
Absolutely.
So her husband saved her life just by encouraging her to go and get it done.
Get it done, get it over and done with. You wouldn't have an MOT not have an MOT done on your car. So what? It's an MOT for your health, isn't it? Yeah. It's working out with people to sort out yourself so they don't have to have that last minute worry about having to chase things up and then get things done. MOT in advance.
That was Leslie Thorpe, who is Macmillan Personalised Care Project Lead for the Black Country Integrated Care Board. And please do get yourself checked out. If you want more information, then do go to the show notes. And I look forward to you joining me next time on the Chris Allen Podcast.
For more information about WCR podcasts, go to wcrfm.com/podcasts.